wherever he went. It's like magic. I said, "Hey, man, I'm kind of tired of tall podiums because I'm a short guy." And he said, "Okay." And then I have a short podium, so it's like magic. And so I'm so appreciative of him and all that he does here. He's a great partner in ministry for me here. We are going to be back in Ezekiel this morning. Just an unrelated story to share because I have to share things. The song, "How Great Is Our God," is such a powerful song. And it's a powerful song for me specifically because we were having a joint service, a community worship service, and we were outside. This was 5 or 6 years ago, and we had a group of us that would just get together and play together. And if you those who don't know, I play guitar. I love to play the acoustic. And so we were just out playing, and my wife would confirm this, that I am a horrible singer. So I don't sing. Well, I do sing, but they don't give me a microphone to singing. They said, "While you're preaching, good. When you're done, you don't get a microphone anymore. You're done. You'll run people out of the church." So here we are. We're in this joint service. We got this great singer. He's singing, and we, you know, we're just playing along, and we kind of come into this chord, the chorus part of this at the end, and here comes this giant thunderhead. I mean, it is, and it's on its way. It's like, so we're seeing it, and I hear the drums stop. And I'm still playing, and I'm still singing. I look over the drums, and this guy's running drums underneath a canopy and a tarp. And I'm like, okay, they're electric drums. We need to get them out of the rain. And I'm just playing, and I'm playing. And then I see the lead singer. He beats feet as the rain starts coming down. I'm like, okay, he's on mic, right? So he doesn't want to get electrocuted. I'm like, I'm in here. I'm with the Lord. I'm plugged in. I don't care if it's electronic. God's going to protect me in this. And I keep playing, and I keep singing. And the just these showers come pouring down. And here we are in the splendor of God, and there's lightning going on. And as I'm singing and I'm playing, people begin to sing in the crowd. They first started, they run, and they started coming back, and they kept singing. And we started singing, "How great is our God," right here in the middle of this thunderstorm. We're playing and we're singing. Absolutely ruined my guitar, but I'm sitting here playing and singing and thinking, it's His glory. Who can create a thunderstorm like this? And these powerful prayer groups begin to form, and they're praying to the Lord while we're still playing. And we must have sang "How Great Is Our God" for like 10 minutes. So yes, the words never get tired. Especially when you're standing in the splendor and the glory of God. And that's where we find Ezekiel this morning. He's standing in the glory and the splendor of God as he's speaking to him. And we're going to pick this up real quick in verse 7 and 8. Because this is the core to it right here. And he says this, "And so I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I was prophesying, there was a noise, a rattling of sound, and the bones came together, bone to bone. And I looked, and the tendons and the flesh appeared on them, and the skin covered them, but there was no breath within them." This is an amazing and powerful set of verses because it says exactly who God is. He is the one that forms. And He is the one that brings to life. But we get to partner with Him in that power. Let's go to the Lord for some wisdom this morning. Thank you, Lord, for bringing us together as a family. We thank you for bringing us here to glorify you, to honor you, to bless you and who we are. Lord, now as we get into the Word, we ask that you would reveal your wisdom to us, that we would be forever changed in it, that you would grow our hearts, that we would look less like us and more like you, that the power of your Word would transform our dry bones into the living army of God. We pray this in the power of Jesus' name. Amen. So I might take a little more water this morning because I got allergies that are beating me up this morning. So just be patient with me in that. I'm trying not to cough and all those. I don't have the COVID. I just got allergies. So hang in there with me, y'all. We were traveling out here, moving. And so we had the big U-Haul truck, and we were packing everything in the U-Haul truck, and we were packing and packing and packing and cramming and packing, and we got to the end, and we didn't have any room for my wife's plants. Now, my wife loves to grow things. She loves to do the gardening. She likes the tomatoes and the peppers. I love that she does that, too, because I get to benefit from those blessings that she gets to create. And so she's like, I ain't leaving those behind. I'm like, but we're out of room. She says, you better put them in the truck. So here's my back of my pickup truck, and we're thinking, how do we keep these things alive for 300 miles, flying down the highway at 65 miles an hour? So we're covering them with bags, we're tying them down, we're strapping them down. We want to make sure that they try and live. And no matter what we did, as we're flying down the road, the wind still got to them. The wind still beat them up. The wind still made them look really shabby. And so we got to the house and we unloaded them, and she started to water them. We made sure they had plenty of sunlight, but these things didn't look like they had a chance. But I'm here to tell you that you can water and you can sow and you can put them in the right sunlight and you can make sure you have the right pH balance, but it's God that makes it grow. It's God that brings it to life. And some of those plants just came just powerfully back. Some of them died. Some just didn't have that will to want to live. And that's just the way it is with people. You know, we're going to go out there and we're going to sow seeds and we're going to plant a word inside of people and we're going to do as God commands us. And you know, some of those things are going to come to life and some of them aren't. And that's okay. Because the key here, as it is in Ezekiel, which we're getting ready to get into because we got to back up a little bit. We got to go back to verse 4 here because this is key in all of this. We get back to verse 4. The key is this, that God is the one that does the growing, but people also have to partner with him. And here it is in verse 4 where it begins. It says, then he said to me, prophesy to these bones and say to them, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. That's an exclamation point. Okay, when it's an exclamation point, a couple of things here. Number one, this is God's command. It's coming from God, but there's also some power behind it. So really what it's saying in here is, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. It's loud, it's powerful, it's this God talking here. He's going to get me excited. Hold on, I'm bringing it down a little bit. This is what the sovereign Lord says to these bones. I will make breath enter you, and you will come to life. I will attach your tendons to you and make your flesh come upon you and cover you with skin, and I will put the breath in you, and you will come to life. Then you will know that I am the Lord. First thing he says is, prophesy to these dry bones. Prophesy, that's a funny word. That's kind of a what we call one of those church words that people don't understand. Some people are afraid of it. Well, prophesy. That tends to get people a little, whoo, you going to crazy land on me, right? Some of us in the more conservative area of church, like I grew up in, you say a word like prophecy in a Baptist church, and people are like, whoo, you need to belong to church down the road. All right, so people get a little concerned about this word prophecy and prophesy a little bit, but I want to clear it up for you. And here is the Hebrew word, and the Hebrew word is neba, N-E-B-A, neba. It means two things. It means first to tell forth the word of God. It means God gives you a word and you speak it. So anybody who goes to anybody and says, hey, by the way, Jesus died for you, you just now prophesied a word of God. Why? Because God said it, and it's true, and you just said it, so now you're prophesying the word of God. It means to tell forth what is God's word. It's one of the reasons why for Christians this thing is so important to us. This is God's word. And we want to tell people about it because it's good news, right? Head nod, amen, that's right. Good news, right? Yep, right. Good news in here. This is salvation. The words here give salvation because they're a prophecy of God. They say if you come to Christ, you make him your Lord, you live for eternity. Amen and amen. That's in here. That's why it's so important we know this. And then the second one of that is to tell the future. So we want to see that you go to a book like Revelation. That's kind of our prophecy book in the New Testament. is the book of Revelation. And that goes into detail about future events that are going to happen. Now, inside of that, that's still a lot of imagery. It's not exactly what's going to happen. This giant dragon beast is not going to come out of the water like some horror movie. It's imagery. Okay? Why is it so full of imagery? Well, can you imagine John, if you will, take yourself all the way back to the first century, okay? And just do this. Just do this. You're a time traveler. You go to John and you show him a cell phone and you say, hey, we talk on these things to other people. Now, John needs to explain this to people in the first century. Can you imagine? Can you imagine John trying to explain a tank to somebody? Well, it looked like a giant dragon with fire coming out of his mouth, all right? He's got to use this imagery because he's seeing things that we see now, then, and he has to explain that to those people in their own context. That can be really tough. And so we see a lot of imagery, but I digress. That's for free, by the way. It's not even part of the sermon. All right, that's for free. So here is Ezekiel, and he's received a word from God. Now, this is not future telling, even though it little bit is, because he's saying Israel's going to come back to life. But really what it is, he's speaking forth the power and authority of God to bring people to life. He's speaking power from God. He's telling the dry bones to come to life. And how do we know that? Well, because we see the words, I will. And this is God speaking. And he says, I will. I will put the sinews on there. I will bring the bones together. I will make these things come to life. I will give them the breath. What I need you to do, though, is I need you to tell people. I need you to speak this word upon them so they know what I'm doing. All right, so that they can come and be a part of what I'm doing. See, that's the way God works. God's going to do, but he needs you to volunteer to be a part of it. If you don't volunteer to be a part of it, guess what he does? He leaves you in the valley of the dry bones. Because he's not going to force anybody to be a part of what he's doing. That's why we have to prophesy the word. That's why we have to tell people the word of God. Because we need to tell them what he's done and what he's doing in our lives today. That's what's going to bring people to God and bring them to life. God has that power, the power to create. John 1 and verse 3, through him all things were made, and without him nothing was made that has been made. So we see that God's word is the very power of creation. In John 1:3, it's talking about Jesus. Go back there and read John 1, 1 through 14, and it goes through that. It says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and he was with God in the beginning, and that's Jesus, because in verse 14, it says the Word manifest to flesh in Jesus Christ. So Jesus is the very Word of God. He's the very power and authority that speaks forth, and it speaks life. He has the power to create. His Word is the power of creation and life. And we can do that. We can speak the very words of God and speak life and death. That's how much power is in the scripture. This is the power of life and death, y'all. Do you know it? If you don't, you do now, because I just told you. Why it's so important for our world to hear. How many news agencies do you see quoting scripture on the nightly news? See, they speak from the flesh. They speak out of the spirit of death. And that's a powerful word too, that many will follow. But we have the power to speak life. That's why this is so important. Because this is the power of life and death. And we want to participate in that power. We want to participate in what he's doing. See, when I was an instructor down in Texas, as I was teaching young airmen coming into the Air Force how to be mechanics, there was a lot of things they had to know that a lot of them didn't know. I mean, I grew up with a father who was a mechanic, so I knew what a screwdriver and a hammer and a vice grips and a crescent wrench and all that stuff was. I had to relearn all the new words for it because we can't use the fancy words like crescent wrench. You have to use adjustable jaw wrench because crescent wrench is a brand name. We can't use that. Vice grips. No, locking jaw pliers. All right, so even I had to learn some new names. And they were silly names, but they're the actual names of the tool. We're just used to the brand name because they stuck and described them. So this great thing was I was teaching these young kids this, and it didn't matter if you knew what a screwdriver was or what it wasn't. You did when you left. And not only did you know what they were, you knew what they were used for. Why? Well, because as soon as I taught you about it, I now took you down to partner with me in using them on different things. We had to take each student down. They had to use a hammer. They had to use the screwdriver. And we'd show them how to use it. And then we'd walk around with them. See, we'd partner with them in their learning and in their growing so that they would have this knowledge and they start to come alive as mechanics. You know, God does the same thing to us. He tells us about it, but then he wants us to partner with him in it so that we can go do it so that we grow alive inside of ourselves. You know, this coming alive isn't just for the lost. I don't know about y'all, but there's times in my life where I get down in the rut. I can feel a little dead inside. Like God's just not moving. He's not talking. He's not speaking. He's just not, come on, God, I want to do something. And then I have to look around me and I say, where am I partnering with God? Where am I doing his word? How am I speaking life to people? And I usually find I'm not. And I usually find that this unliving, this unspirit-filled life I have and I'm feeling is because I'm not partnering in the doing. I'm reading, I'm praying, but I'm not being obedient. See, that's the next part inside of this. Verse 7, let's go there. Let's see how Ezekiel responds to the Word of God. So there's always a response to the Word of God. The Word of God does not come back void. You're either going to be with God or you're going to grow further away from Him. That's it. Nobody stays the same. You hear a word and you either grow closer to God or you get further away. You're never staying steady. Here it is. And so I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I was prophesying, there was a noise, a rattling sound, and the bones came together, bone to bone. And I looked, and the tendons and the flesh appeared on them, and the skin covered them, but there was no breath in them. Oh, I love this word here. So I. God gave me a word, and what happened? So I prophesied. So I did as I was commanded to do. This is that word obedience. Now, obedience is going to conjure up in you probably some weird things. It's going to be some of it uncomfortable. Some of it's going to be like, I get it. And some of it's going to be like, I don't like that word. You know, when I was younger and my kids were little, they were running around my wife's grandma's house. And they were just little being, they were causing a little ruckus. And I said, hey, knock that off. And they were kind of still going. I said, hey, look, you'll obey me. And then it got serious. But a grandma came to me and said, oh, we don't say that word in this house. We don't say obey. That's what you tell a dog. I said, no, that's what I tell my kids before I whoop them. All right, it's coming down to serious right here. It's getting serious. And so we had this argument. I said, well, what do you say about this in the Bible? Well, then the discussion was kind of over and she kind of meandered off and she didn't want to have that talk. Because sometimes we're uncomfortable with that word obey. Why are we so uncomfortable with the word obey? Because it requires me to follow somebody else other than myself. Well, guess what? In my flesh, I'm very self-absorbed. I want to do what I want to do. I want to do me. You know, that's that loving saying. Everybody like, you do you. I hate that saying. That's like the worst Christian saying in the world. Christians should not use that phrase because we ought to be doing what God is doing. Our hearts should be focused upward, not inward. so that I'm constantly being transformed. Because if I do me, then I don't need to change. And that's not scripture. No, it says to be obedient to the word. And here is Ezekiel being obedient. And the Lord said, do this. And he said, so I prophesied as I was commanded. And then what happened? The bones started to move. Things started to shake. The bones came together and the sinews came on it and the skin grew upon it. See, when we're obedient to the word of the Lord, then the word is going to move. God is going to do, and we get to be a part of the doing. And I'm going to tell you, that's a blessing. That's a powerful blessing to be part of the doing. And what else I love about this is it isn't like Ezekiel debated with God. He didn't say, well, I don't really like that part. Can we leave that out? He just did. It was immediate. You know, I find that that's a crazy thing we do in this society today. But I want to share with you 1 John 2 and verse 3 and what it says there. We know that we have come to know him, meaning Jesus, if we keep his commands. I know I don't have verse 4 up there. Hang in there with me. But it says this, whoever says I know him, but does not do what he commands is a liar, and the truth is not in that person. If we say we know him, then we've got to do what he says. Why? Because he said so? You know, I used to say that as a parent all the time. Go clean your room, because I said so. See, we've played this game before. Once the because I said so came out, the discussion is over. But that's not how God works. You know, as Kent shared this morning, it's always funny how God lines. You know, Kent and I didn't go out there and like, hey, let's compare notes and let's see what God talked about, and I'm going to talk about that. He got a little piece of what I wanted to say. But in the end, when he talked about obedience and it being a response, that's what obedience is. It's a response of my heart and my love for God to do what I know he wants me to do, because I know he cares for me and loves me and is never going to lead me into a place that will destroy me, but it will only grow me and bless me. It may be hard. I may be uncomfortable, but don't get uncomfortable mixed up with blessings. I've had plenty of blessings in being uncomfortable. How do I know? Well, I'm here and I'm very uncomfortable with a whole bunch of strange people staring at me. But I sure get blessed every day when I give to the Lord what belongs to the Lord. And when I'm up here giving the word, and I know I'm getting a little bit more familiar with some of your faces and who you guys are, and I will get that way. But I'm here to tell you that, especially week one, pretty uncomfortable, all right? Especially when everybody wears masks, okay? And then you like see them out on the street, and they're like, hey, and you're like, hey. I don't have a clue who you are, but I'm going to say hi. You remember? No, I don't. You were wearing a mask. It's all weird right now. It's all weird. But there was faith there. There was faith there in Ezekiel. He didn't hesitate. He just did. And his faith was out there because he knew what God could do. How many of us know what God can do because he's done something in our lives? Say amen. Amen. Give a head shake. That's okay. Okay. Because we know he's powerful. We know he can change. Look, he saved us. And if that's all he ever did for me, that would be enough. But what does he do? He opens the storehouse and continues to pour out more blessings. What an awesome God we serve. But we have faith in it. You know, just like I had faith in my first boss when I was in service. And I remember he said, man, this is what we need to do. We need to get it done tonight. And it better be done or else. I had faith in the or else. And I got it done because I believed that on the inside of that or else was this. I don't want to find out what the or else is because I believe it's going to be bad. All right. We're going to be running on the fly line. We're going to stay at work. I don't know what it is, but I had faith that he was going to do something bad. It's the same thing with God, only it's good. Because God is good. And I have faith in Him that when I'm obedient to His word and I follow through because I love Him, that He's going to lead me into the great places, that He's going to awaken my dry bones, that He's going to bring me into a place of great worship and great passion and great blessing and great things. In the end, we have a choice. And C.S. Lewis sums it up so beautifully here. And he says this, there are two types of people. Those who will say to God, thy will be done. And those to whom God says, all right then, have your own way. One's going to lead to the good life, and one's going to lead to death. In the end, we want to be a part of God's work and what God is doing. We want to partner in Him with that. But to do that, we've got to be obedient. And when we do, it's a great, great thing. It's a great, great thing. But we got to do. We got to do. We can't just say we do. We can't just say and speak forth things. We actually have to go do what God is calling on us to do. Because it will happen when we partner with Him. I think about that. We like to put puzzles together, especially in the winter when things kind of get cold outside. You don't really want to go out there. We'll grab a big old, 500,000 piece puzzle and we'll throw it on the dining room table. We like to do that kind of thing. And we do some beautiful pictures. I keep telling my wife we need to glue them and put them in a little frame and put them on the wall. She's like, no, we just need to crumble them up and put them back in the box. But we love doing that. But I can't imagine if we talked about doing it and we really like to do it and we know it's going to be fun in the end to do it and we know it's time well spent together doing it and we just dump it on the table and we leave it. And we don't actually ever put the pieces together. Nothing happens. Same thing with God. If all we ever do is talk about it, have meetings about it, think about it, and we never do it, nothing ever happens. The puzzle never comes together. We never get to see that great blessing that God has for us. But it takes us doing. And if you don't believe me, you can go over to Romans 10 and verse 15 and see what God says there. It's talking about the lost. And he says, how can anyone preach unless they are sent? And by the way, the word preach there is prophesy. How can anyone tell forth the word of God unless they are sent? And by the way, if you're in Christ, you're sent. Everybody in Christ is sent to go give the word of God. Don't believe me. Wait till the end when we give the Great Commission. It's there. As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring the good news. There's two blessings in that. One's for the person getting the good news. It's the good news. Who doesn't love good news? Right? I see y'all on Facebook. I Facebook stalk some of you guys. Right? You guys are always putting out their new pictures of the grandbabies or the babies or the kids or celebrating this event or that event and the things going on. I see. Not a lot of people put bad news on there. Those pessimist people that just want to, continue. I block them out, unfollow, right? We love good news. We love hearing the good news. We love it when somebody gives us good news, right? Because we're blessed by good news and we celebrate with good news. That's the first. But back up a little bit. Bring that back up if you wouldn't mind. How beautiful are the feet. God makes us beautiful. God makes us beautiful. We're the message bearer. Our feet are beautiful. I know most of us are like, have you seen my feet? All right, I'm that way. I got funky feet. All right, funky nails. My wife tells me all the time. But God makes us beautiful. But it's not because of me that I'm beautiful. It's because the good news I have inside. It's because I partnered with God to do what He has called me to do. He has made us beautiful. But there's a key part in this that I want to hold on to. There was no breath in them. There was no life. There was nothing happening. I wonder if God did this on purpose. Well, obviously He did it on purpose. But He did it to remind Ezekiel who brings to life. Because He did it as He was commanded. He prophesied on the bones, and the bones came together, but there was no life.
And so God says this in verse 9. He says this, and then he said to me, because he's like, look, there's no life there. And he says to me, prophesy to the breath. Ooh, change here, subject change. Prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to it, this is what the sovereign Lord says. Come, breath, from the four winds, and breathe into the slain. So these are people that have been killed. Speak to the slain that they may live. And so I prophesied as he commanded me. And breath entered them, and they came to life and stood on their feet, a vast army. Genesis 2 and verse 7. Then the Lord God formed a man from the dust of the ground, and he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living being. People ask me all the time, why is creation so important? I says, because God continues to point back to it. Why is this argument over evolution and all these long days, short days, why is this an argument? Because God points back to him and his creation as he deemed it, not me. That's why it's so important. That's for free. The breath. The word breath in Hebrew is the same word for spirit. If we say that in Genesis 2 and verse 7, and the Spirit of God was breathed into them, and that is the life force. See, that's the imago Dei. That's the image of God. Not that God looks like me. God forbid that, as good looking as I am. But that God breathed into me life, and he is life, and we are created in his image. And so we have this imago Dei, the image of God within us. That's the breath of life within us. That is the spirit within us. We'll have this sermon at some point in time. But there's really four parts to us. There's the mind, there's the heart, there's the spirit, and there is the Holy Spirit. And the Spirit and the Holy Spirit are those communing spirits. That's what God has put within us to make us alive. See, we could have had everything else, but we would have never been alive. How do we know that? Because we see the animals upon the ground, and they walk around, but are they really alive as we are alive? No. For we have the image of God within us. And so he's telling these dry bones, he says, prophesy to the spirit, or the breath in this instance, the same thing, same word, prophesy to the spirit. So all of a sudden, he's prophesying to the great spirit of God. He's no longer prophesying to the bodies. They're there, they're put together, they're just lying on the ground everywhere. But there's no life. And he says, look, now you need to talk to the Spirit, because the Spirit is what is life. And he says, prophesy to the Spirit and say to it, the sovereign Lord says, for he's the only one that can command the Spirit. Come to life, or come into their four winds. We know the four winds, that's the representation of God and God's Spirit. And so he says unto them, come into these slain. What are they slain by? They're slain by their evil ways. Just like we are in this world today, when we choose to live by the flesh, we're killing ourselves in darkness. But there's this opportunity to speak to the breath, to the spirit of life, come to life. And they came alive. And they stood up, this vast army of God. This means that we have the power through God and the Holy Spirit to speak life and death. There's two verses that I want to cover here. One's out of Matthew 12, verse 36 and verse 37. It says this, but I tell you that everyone will have to give an account on the day of judgment for every empty word they have spoken. For by your words you will be acquitted, or by your words you will be condemned. And along with that is Proverbs 18, verse 21. How much better to get wisdom, Proverbs 18, verse 21. I got to get that right in my own. There we go. And the tongue has the power of life and death, and those who love it will eat its fruit. Do you want to speak life or death? Because as we go forth and we talk to people throughout the week, we speak life or we speak death. We speak to them, but guess what? We also speak it to ourselves. For what we prophesy, we suffer the fruit of. And if it's life, it's life. And if it's death, it's death. Beware our words. Again, why it's so important that we have the scripture to guide us in our words. For this is life. And we can't just go out there and tell the pieces we want to tell, y'all. I know that's how we want to do it. It's good. Look, it's so tempting to sit where I'm at today and talk nothing but great things and encouraging things to make you feel good as you walk out the door. Because when you feel good, he's like, man, I feel pretty good. I'm going to go back. Yay! I'd rather you feel bad and be changed and live than do you feel good and die. What do you speak today? Because I'm going to tell you, you can't change this. You have to speak the truth of it. And we can't just speak the parts we like. We got to speak it all. For that's how we bring life. And that's exactly what Ezekiel did. And then we see that when he did, and the breath of life entered them, then the vast army stood before him. I love the parallels between military service and my Christian walk. You know, sometimes I think the church probably ought to be run a little bit more like the military. Y'all are out there going, no, no, sir. But I'm here to tell you, after 21 years of service, people always ask me, do you miss it? You can ask 99 out of 100 guys, or ask 199, you ask them, do you miss it? And they'll say, yeah. What do you miss about it? Well, I miss being told where to live all the time. No. I miss being told when I can eat, when I can sleep, when I got to be at work, and I miss being told all the time what to do and who to answer to. No. We miss the camaraderie. We miss the single-minded purpose. While I might be a mechanic, and we may make fun of medical people, I'm sorry, medical people, if you're in here. All right, it's different in the military. It's different. All right, they're noners, right? They work 8 to 5. They get to go home. They got weekends and holidays off. All right, we always make fun of them. And they make fun of us grease monkeys, too. You know, that's what you do with your brothers and your sisters, right? You make fun of them and you poke at them and you guys argue all the time. But God forbid somebody try to step into the middle of that. Because I got my brother and my sister's back. What if the church were like that? What if when you were amongst lost people, what you really missed is that love and single-minded purposeness of the gospel of Jesus Christ? What if you bought into it so much that that's how you felt when you walked away? What if it was eating you alive if you're not with them and loving them and being a part with them and what they're doing? That's the power of life in Jesus Christ that we can all have. As we stand as a vast army. And guess what? Every one of you are recruiters in that army. Every one of us has the power to speak life into people out in this community, out around us, out amongst us, to give glory to God and to bring them to life. Not of anything that I can do, but I have to sow and I have to water and I have to prep the surface to bring the Spirit to them. And I prophesy to the Spirit, speak to them, Lord. Allow them to come to life. Let them hear what you have to say, Lord. Because if they never hear it, they can never know. If we never bring the word, they can never know. If we never bring life, they can never be alive. How beautiful are your feet that are ready to bring that good news to people, that are ready to bring people alive in Christ Jesus. That is our mission. That is our single purpose goal. Everything else is peripheral. And then we grow each other in that life. See, when the seed starts, it starts as a little thing and it pushes up, but it can become this vast tree and we become this vast army before God as we grow each other in this thing. Man, how amazing is it when we speak forth and prophesy the word of God? Amen. Amen. Today, I want you to go ahead and stand up with me. Audience participation time. You may be getting a little sleepy anyway. It's time to stretch out. I'm about 9 minutes past my due time up there according to the screen. Y'all better just change that timer. It ain't never going to work for me. Can't constrain the Lord. I want you to close your eyes. And I want you to take a deep breath in. And I want you to hold it a little bit if you can. And then just ease it out. Take one more big breath in. And as you're breathing right now, I want you to focus on that breath and realize that life that comes from it. Realize who created that breath in you. Realize that He loves you enough to put that breath in you. And every one of your breaths are different. Every one of you is just a little bit different. How you breathe is just a little bit different, but that's okay because it's not about how, it's about the one who put it in you. And I want you to realize the power and the energy that comes from that breath of life. How God is going to use that now to speak a word upon somebody this week. And I want you to imagine that as you're speaking out with this breath, because we have to breathe to speak. As you're speaking out, I want you to realize the power and the authority that comes from the Word of God that you could be speaking on your coworker this week. That you could be speaking on your brother or your sister this week. You could be breathing upon another Christian person this week, encouraging them in God. You could be bringing the word of life to a lost person, realizing the power of God that is in them today. And as you open your eyes now, I want you to look around and realize the vast army that stands in here this morning. And how we can speak a word of life and defeat the darkness this week. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for the word of life that you have spoken to us, that we may speak to others. Thank you, Lord, that I am alive today because of you, because of your breath of life that comes from the very word, Jesus Christ. Thank you that I get to participate in that and bless you in that. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.